So I pre-treated it, sat there, let it like sprayed it on there, just let it sit. Then I had a brush and just scrubbed it, stuck it in the wash. Y'all, they look brand new. I was so thrilled with myself. I was like, here
are
I am.
Are you taking orders? I've got 4 pair that I can send your way.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Y'all, I have a very, very special guest on the show today. No, I'm not talking about Scott Slatton. I am talking about my colleague, Joni Nickel.
Whoop, whoop. Hey, Casey.
Joni, it's been a while since you've been here. Tell me about your life.
I've been so busy, Casey.
Yeah, you have been.
I mean, how long is this podcast?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No.
As she backs up and stops asking me that question.
Right, exactly. All right, well, now let's get to...
Moving on.
Let's get to the business. We are, I don't even know how many weeks, we are January, February, March, so almost toward the end of March to the end of the legislative session.
I added it up. Because I'm a numbers person, and because the House is going on furlough. Oh, and I found out today the Senate is going to furlough the Thursday before Easter, just FYI.
Okay, just that one day?
Just that one day is what I was told.
Okay.
But the House technically has 6 weeks left, and that would make the Senate have 7.
That is phenomenal.
I'm excited.
I mean, we're close. Only one full month left.
Yeah.
Month of April, but it's really not a full month because of the furloughs.
Yeah, and then you got crossover, which I know you're going to talk about. So.
Right. That's we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Are we though?
Are we?
I mean, how big is your telescope so you can see that light?
Exactly. I'm looking at a huge one. I'm trying to like, it's like this train, the train that's coming.
I appreciate
it's barreling down. So you mentioned crossover.
Yep.
Thursday, April.
The 10th.
The 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Is crossover.
Yep.
That is a date that kind of gives a deadline to four bills to pass out of the originating chamber.
Yeah, so crossover doesn't mean a lot in the first year of a two-year session because the bill is not dead. It has the following year.
Right.
It is heavier the second year, especially during an election year, because those people who introduced the bill may not even be back next year to reintroduce the bill. Can your bill pass if it does not make crossover? Yes.
It can.
Have I seen that happen in 15, 16 years? Yes.
Sure.
One or two.
Right. It's not very common.
It's not very common. And it has to really be a bipartisan issue.
Right.
That both chambers, not just a bipartisan issue, but a bipartisan issue that both chambers want.
So. And Joni, not one that is going to cause extended debate, heated debate. There are still... You know, the budget obviously made crossover.
Yep.
So we're now in the Senate era of the budget. So now it's the Senate finance, the full Senate finance's turn to do the budget. So we still have that left to do.
Yep.
The House received the judicial reform from the Senate. That was in a subcommittee this morning in the House. So they've got that to work on.
They're busy.
They've still got a lot of, you know, medical marijuana is still sitting in the House. It already passed the Senate. There are still some pretty big issues that are still sitting out there waiting to be taken up in these last 6 weeks.
Yeah. And so what you'll see in the next couple of weeks, so the House is going to focus on House bills until crossover because the Senate bills that are sitting on their calendar in subcommittee, full committee, they've already crossed over. There's not really a deadline except for that May 9th deadline for those. So it's not the doom.
Right, the hurry up.
Exactly. And you'll see the same thing on the Senate. The Senate is going to want to push through Senate bills and not House bills. Mm-hmm. But like you said earlier, the Senate Finance Committee, I testified last Thursday.
Right.
And they are having those meetings right now. We're in full budget process again. Even literally the week of budget week for the House, I was testifying for the Senate.
In the Senate. Yeah, that's right. So it's going on. All at the same time, working through the budget. But we've also got a couple things. We've got some bills that are out there that have made crossover that we just want to talk about. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the process of you working on a bill today, just to kind of give everybody an idea of just a small taste of how things work.
And they will understand why I almost put Lysol.
They will. That, it's going to come full circle, Joni. Yeah. They're going to realize. They're going to. Our people, our listener, is going to realize why you almost sprayed Lysol that you thought was deodorant.
Yeah.
So you mentioned May 9th. That's sine die, mm-hmm. or the end of the regular session.
That is correct.
Yesterday in the Senate, they passed a sine die resolution. Mm-hmm. The House passed it today, Thursday. So what that does is that lets the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House determine when they come back. Yeah. Do you remember last year? They didn't have
one. We didn't have one.
There was no sine die resolution. Yeah. So at that point, it's the pleasure of the governor.
Yeah.
And you come back whenever he says so. But this time they've got one. They've got some dates in June. Where they can come back to complete the budget conference report and then come back for vetoes and then do any other legislation, judicial reform, elect Supreme Court justices once that bill gets done, where they can do some things on their schedule.
Yeah.
And so, whenever they want to.
And this was their standard sine die. Yes. In years past, they've included things like COVID is an issue that they could work on, or, you know, the Confederate flag debate was one of the issues 1 year. So, but this is just a straightforward sine die, coming back three times in June, mm-hmm. work on a few things. Right. And it's usually your vetoes,
right?
The conference committee reports, mm-hmm. as long as those conferees have been appointed prior to May 9th.
Right.
So.
And that's, you know, that the limited scope of the sine die is what we all look for.
Yes.
Because when last year, when the governor called them back, they could do anything on the calendar.
Yeah.
It was a free for all. But this limits what they can debate, what they can take action on, which I think is a good thing.
Well, especially during an election year.
Yeah. And they are, Senator Sandy Sin from Charleston, she pointed out while Senator Massey, majority leader from Edgefield, he was explaining the sine die. She said, what about those of us with contentious primaries? You know, could you take that into account? And they do come back after the primaries, and then the date is after the runoff. Yeah. So, or whatever, you know, if you're in a runoff. So I think that's, you know, that they've talked about it, but it will be, we're in the middle of filing. Filing closes on the 1st of April, I mm-hmm. believe.
Yeah.
It opened on the 16th of March. So we're seeing some folks, starting to get opposition in the primary, some in the general. Primaries, they're the one to watch.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
I agree. And, you know, I was talking to a senator today, and I asked them if they had any opposition. And they said, not yet. And I said, you know, sometimes opposition's a good thing.
That's right.
Yeah, and they looked at me like I was crazy. But, you know, for everyone, we kind of get in a rut. Mm-hmm. And you get complacent, so
that's
to speak.
Right.
And not to say that this senator is complacent, because they are not. But, you know, sometimes you just need that extra little shove to get back on your feet.
Especially senators, you know, they only have to run every 4 years. In the House, I feel like you're always running an election.
Yeah.
Because you have to run every 2 years. So let's just go through real quick a couple of bills that have gotten action or seen something that we've been talking about, that Scott and I have been talking about and that we've been writing about in the Dome.
Yeah.
So the military TIF bill, House Bill 4552, that was in a subcommittee this week, and they adopted a small amendment. It just changes the effective date from upon the governor's signature to July 1. I believe Senator Bennett was the chairman of that subcommittee, and he was the one that introduced the amendment just to bring it in line with fiscal years.
Yep.
But that bill, because it came out of subcommittee, that bill now goes to the full Senate Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee.
Yeah.
The property tax exemption bill that we've been working on, Senate Bill 1017, that bill received third reading by the Senate today, Thursday. That happened a little bit earlier today. So that bill now goes to the House Ways and Means Committee.
They did amend it. Kind of speak for 2 seconds on that amendment.
Absolutely.
They amended in section one, they added a subsection B that says that this bill will not affect any projects that are currently taking place prior to the governor signing it.
Okay.
So it would not be fair for someone to start a project under one set of rules and then this pass and then the rules change on them. And so that protects those projects.
Okay. Perfect. So that now goes to Ways and Means. Also, your abandoned buildings tax credit extension bill, Senate Bill 1021.
Unanimous.
That was also given a third reading on Wednesday, I believe.
It was.
So now that's over to House Ways and Means.
Yeah. And so we've already had conversations with the Representative Brandon Newton, who had a companion version of this bill,
right,
to let him know, hey, this bill has crossed over.
Right, it's coming.
It's coming. Can you please make sure it goes to your subcommittee, if at all possible? That would be wonderful. And, you know, just let us know when you're ready to have a refresher, because we do know that since it's already crossed over, they're not going to have a hearing on this till after crossover day.
We'll have to wait a little bit.
But we don't want them to think that we have forgotten about it and that it's not important, because it's very important to us.
So you and Erica is mainly dealing with the property tax bill. You're doing abandoned buildings. Y'all will be in House Ways and Means after crossover
yes,
a good bit.
Yes, we will.
Like,
you know, I feel like I never left.
I know. You just stay there.
I have a seat.
A couple of other bills that I just want to throw everybody's way to let you know about is the golf cart bill that we talked about last week. That passed out of full committee, full 3M. So now that is on the, that'll be on the House calendar, and we'll see how that goes. That's a House bill, so they may not, I mean, they'll be trying to work on that, it seems like.
Yeah.
Your 911 telecommunicators bill, that bill came out of a House 3M sub.
Yeah.
With amendments. You want to talk about how that bill kind of came to pass?
So TCPR is telecommuter cardiovascular resuscitation.
Pulmonary
CPR.
Cardiovascular pulmonary
resuscitation. Yeah. So, but it is not just the ability to do CPR. It is the technique to teach someone CPR over the phone.
Over the phone. So like a 911, somebody answers the telephone and somebody is in crisis, and so they have to teach them or tell them how to do it.
Okay. So this piece of legislation was brought to our attention after we read it through. We realized that the bill did not define TCPR, which if you're going to have a piece of legislation, it's good practice to have a good definition there.
Yep.
So we worked with the senator and we worked with, or the House member, and we worked with.
And it was Representative Brian Lawson, brought that to your, and the Heart Association.
And the Heart Association.
Okay,
and Representative Lawson, he was wonderful to work with. He wanted our opinion on it. That's why he sent it to us. Mm-hmm. We gave him a few recommendations, and actually the committee adopted all of our recommendations on that bill. So I think it will be a good piece of legislation moving forward. It's a good practice. I did not know that all 911 dispatchers are not trained in TCPR.
I didn't know that either.
Most of the county ones are. So the county association did not really weigh in on it because they already have this practice.
Mm-hmm.
But our language did, you know, codify that state and local entities would be covered under the South Carolina Tort Claims Act. So we had some good language in there, and it was a pleasure to work with Representative Lawson. He's actually a good friend, and I look forward to this bill progressing.
Joni, something ironic just happened to me.
What?
My phone was ringing, and it was my other guest, Scott Slatton. And you know, it's funny, I would have taken the call and put him on the podcast, but him and Mr. Producer do not allow me to take callers.
Oh, wow.
So he's just going to have to sit where he is wonder what we're doing. No, I texted him back and I said, recording the pod.
Did you let it ring or did you hit straight deny?
So no, I just hit the text feature that I could just be like, denied.
Denied.
And here's why. Because I'm recording the podcast that you're a guest on.
I feel like he did that on purpose, that he'd get a shout out.
I mean, don't you think so?
Scott,
I think he tried to be a caller, but too bad. We don't take callers.
This is my turn to be on the podcast, Scott.
Just continue doing what you're doing, Scott. Okay. Now I want to go through really what the bill does doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter, but for our story, for our purposes.
Okay.
I want to talk about how you kind of worked from start to finish. So Senator Shane Martin from Pauline, Republican from Pauline in the upstate, Spartanburg County, he introduced a bill, Senate Bill 457, dealing with eminent domain.
Yeah.
This bill, I don't remember when this bill was introduced.
Yeah.
It's a 400, so it's probably been introduced for some time.
It was introduced January 26th of 2023.
Okay, so it's been a year or so since it's been introduced. So it showed up. We got a meeting notice yesterday, and it showed up for a meeting this morning.
Yes.
And whenever we get a meeting notice, normally meetings are set like at the beginning of the week. This one was just set. So we look at the agenda. We make sure we get in our tracking system, and we look through all the bills on the agenda, and we find the ones that we track. Yeah. That means that one of y'all have to attend the meeting. So you read over the bill. We had some questions. Mm-hmm. And you went to our general counsel, Eric Scheidel.
That's right.
And got some input. And you went to our executive director, Todd Glover, and Scott Slatton. We kind of did, you know, you went around and got some research done.
That's right. I did not know a lot about eminent domain at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Right. But I bet you do now.
I now know right. way more than I did yesterday. And the way that anytime I tackle an opportunity to testify for or against or just neutral, I like to know as much as possible about any issue. And so I will give a shout out again to those three gentlemen because they really did educate me in a crunch. So with that, I will say, given my past life experience being a former staffer, you never go into a committee hearing, in my opinion, knowing that you are against something without a solution, number one. Mm-hmm. You never go in against something without at least giving staff a heads up.
Right. Because you've been there. You know what that's like. You were staff for House Ag. So that's right. You understand that position on the other side of the table.
And you always, most always, have a conversation with the sponsor of the bill. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. I reached out to Senator Martin. We had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. Reached out to staff. Great conversation. Mm-hmm. And we began working. Our general counsel came up with some language to, you know, kind of correct some of our issues that mm-hmm. we had with it. We worked last night, worked early this morning.
Yes.
So much so that when I was getting ready to leave my house, I looked in the mirror and said, you know, today's going to be one of those days that something bad's going to happen and I'm not going to be prepared. So do you know what I did, Casey?
What?
I packed an extra pair of high heels. I know that's crazy.
You just had a gut feeling, Joni.
I had a gut feeling. Do you know what happened to me when I arrived at the parking garage here this morning?
Tell me.
My heel broke.
You got out of the car and it popped off?
Popped off. And guess who had a spare pair of heels?
You just reached in there and popped those other ones on and that was
it. I was like, thank God I didn't like anticipate that I was going to die today or something because.
Well, let me tell you what happened to us this morning. Drew had baseball practice last night.
Yeah.
And this morning I walked out at the house at 7:15, 10 after 7, to take Mary Alton to school. What do I see sitting on the, in the road behind my husband's car? His entire baseball bag.
Oh, no.
It had stayed out there all night.
That's expensive.
And he's a catcher. So the equipment.
Yeah.
And I just looked at it and I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. So I ran out there, grabbed it, threw it in the house. And when I came back, I looked at my husband and I said, I am going to go buy a lottery ticket today.
I should buy a lottery ticket.
Because this thing stayed outside all night.
Yeah.
It was not taken. Attacked by some, you know, wild animal
that you
run
know.
Over. I mean, it was all just pristine sitting there.
Well, the smell belongs to your son.
Yeah, well, yeah. Nobody really wanted to go near it because they probably did and were like, oh, God, what is this? but the point being is that you came up with a solution.
Yes.
You talked to everybody. Everybody knew what you're going to do. So once you got into that subcommittee, nothing was a surprise.
No, nothing.
Your position was not a surprise.
Absolutely not. So the chairman called us up there. He asked point blank, are you testifying for or against it? And I said, well, at the moment, we're against it. But basically, let me explain myself. So mm-hmm. we took that opportunity to say that, you know, we are still in the process of working with Senator Martin, which we are. And I wanted, because I knew how important it was to Senator Martin that his constituent, who was testifying via Zoom, speak. So I wanted her to have that ability to speak mm-hmm. for herself because she was the reason that this piece of legislation was introduced.
Right. The area where this was affecting. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The neighborhood, the community.
And so after the meeting, I sat down again with some Senate staff and then sat down with Senator Martin again. So I think we are going to come up with something good.
Well on our way of coming up with a solution that
Absolutely.
Everybody can live for. And, you know, in some instances, that can happen.
Absolutely.
And it works well. And sometimes we have to take a hard line on stuff because it's just not going to work for cities and towns. And then sometimes, you know, we support things and push them through, like abandoned buildings tax credit and property tax exemption and military TIF. And, you know, it just kind of, that goes to show you that this all happened in 24 hours.
Yes.
So this all had to get put together and all the contacts made
Fast.
Really fast. Yeah. I mean, less than 24 hours. So it was a quick put together, but everybody was easy to work with. And Senator Shane Martin was so gracious and, you know, working Absolutely. With us and being very accepting of ideas. So
I believe you and I actually talked around 6 o'clock last night while I was at the ball field.
We did. I called you for something. I don't remember. We talked about this issue. Yeah, we talked about it last night while I was doing carpools and you were doing baseball. Yep. And then we talked again this morning at like 7:30.
Yes.
Yeah, we were texting, calling. Yeah. So we, you know what?
We're family.
Listen, we probably know too much about each other.
We probably do. Absolutely.
Anything else that we need to discuss that you have been working on that you kind of want to touch base on? The Senate is still in. I haven't checked. They are still in, I believe. No? Yeah. Yes.
Did we talk about the energy bill?
No, that was still being debated. So I was watching you testify while I was writing the report. And then Senator Tom Davis from Beaufort came up and he started testifying in favor of his energy reform bill,
yeah.
909. And then all of the utility interests started testifying, and that got real boring. Yeah. So I had to shift over to another meeting so I could,
that's 6 points. Yeah.
So I could get that report. But you sent a text message that I want to touch base on real quick before Mr. Producer has.
Is this a private text?
No, this is not a private text. Mr. Producer has crafted a trivia question for you today, just for you.
So I hate trivia.
But I do want to mention this because I think it's worth talking about here for a second. There were some amendments put on a property tax bill in the full Ways and Means Committee meeting this morning. And you sent me those because you were there, and then you ran over to Gresset. You sent me those, and then you said, it's Christmas tree season. It's Christmas season. Everybody that works in this bubble knows exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Everybody else would think we were crazy. When you say it's Christmas tree season, tell me what you mean in March, April, and the 1st of May.
So the piece of legislation that we were dealing with deals with military people who are deployed and yes. their 4%
and their
rate
property,
and
right.
their property rate. So the current law only allows for them to maintain that 4% rate for a year. Mm-hmm. So what this piece of legislation did, what it extended it for the entire amount of time that they are mm-hmm. deployed. And that even included if they are renting that property.
Right.
Well, someone amended it. And then the Second Amendment came in hot with Representative Todd Rutherford amending it for counties.
Right.
So this bill, the First Amendment, though, was the one that really made it look like the Christmas tree. It started right. talking about airplanes.
Yes. It was assessment on commercial airliners.
Yes.
Commercial right. airplanes. And then Representative Rutherford came in with an amendment that said you don't have to show your tax, your tax taxes. Returns
yep.
in order to prove 4% That's assessment. Right. So then it turned from a military property tax mm-hmm. with an amendment on airplanes, with an amendment about tax returns on 4%. Now, it all had to do with assessment rates.
It did.
However, three different topics.
That's how they keep it germane. But right. again, three different topics. One, you know, way above the skies. But
now is the time of the year when...
This is where we're going to see
if
it.
If you've got a standalone bill that hasn't moved, and you can find a bill that has crossed over and that is remotely germane
yeah.
or, you know, the same topic, you can start putting amendments on it. And people do it. People start slapping amendments on things, and it happens so fast. That's why we have to be so vigilant. We're also watching bills that have crossed over to see what could be amended
yeah.
on those bills.
Well, in Todd Rutherford's case, he didn't even have another bill. This was a constituent issue. He got a call from someone in Lexington County mm-hmm. and he didn't like it and saw an opportunity. We were already taking up an assessment bill yep. piece of legislation, so he popped it right on there.
And Representative Nathan Ballantyne from the Irmo area, he also had a story about that. And
he did.
He was talking about how he supported Representative Rutherford, and everybody kind of got a good laugh out of it. I think Ballantyne, Chairman Bannister, said, well, let me just go ahead and write that down because that's a first.
Oh, I hate that I missed it. I think I was radio silent then.
I think you were. You silenced me when you got to the Senate Judiciary yeah. Sub. But I was listening to that because Ballantyne had a story about a piece of property and a constituent of his. And He kept saying, I agree with you, Mr. Rutherford. Yeah. And Chairman Bannister was just like, well, this is, there's a first day for everything, a first time for everything. And here it is right now.
Well, and I need you to know that anytime I silence you, I do not take it lightly. It is a hard decision.
Listen,
for me to make.
I know that when you say I'm going radio silent, that means that you are not even with your telephone.
Yeah, it is. In
but
the first.
I watched you during that time.
Yeah, you saw me.
I saw you. And then I knew when you came back on.
Yeah.
So
I was back.
We were back going back and forth trying to get all this stuff straight and finish it up. Okay. Are you ready for the trivia question?
No, I hate trivia questions.
Take a deep breath and a drink of water.
Okay.
204 South Main Street in Woodruff. So close your eyes and go to that place.
Hold on. Let me turn on my GPS.
204 South Main Street in Woodruff has a mural. Facing
mural.
Into Haines Street.
Yeah.
What is commemorated on it? There are a lot of things on
there. I was
going to
say, like everything?
Yeah. No, I mean, just give me something.
Okay. I mean, W.L. Varner's on there because Daddy B. That's,
right.
He's Daddy
is
B.
Is that
to me.
His nickname?
To me, it was. I mean, okay. I went swimming at his and Mama Frances's house. Like, I think there's a quote that says, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link or something.
Yeah.
But. Other than that, I'm pretty sure that it has to be something about Woodruff Wolverines.
Yep. The Woodruff Wolverines are on it. Coach Varner's on it.
I was a cheerleader, so.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, you know.
I mean, obviously the Wolverines are on there, but, oh, that's all I can, like, that's all I got.
So the Triple Tree Aerodrome, does that ring a bell?
It does not.
Okay. The Woodruff Greenway.
Nope.
The Stone Soup Storytelling Festival.
Funny story about Stone Soup.
Okay.
I still tell my children the Taillebone story from Stone Soup to this day. It scares them to death. So I love that Stone Soup is on there. After this, I'm going to tell it to you. It's amazing.
Okay. We don't want to tell it on the podcast.
It's scary.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Jenny grew up in Woodruff along Scott's Lat and also moved to Woodruff.
He's adopted to Woodruff.
He's an adopted son of Woodruff, but Jenny actually grew up, born and raised in Woodruff.
That's right.
So Mr. Producer knew that you could easily get some of this.
I mean,
especially when you were practically raised by one person that was on the mural.
W.L. Varner was on the Coca-Cola bottle, like the glass bottles that you would get like a pop. Like,
Yeah,
his picture was on them.
Really?
Yeah, true story.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
We anticipate things, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, but we anticipate things kind of picking up, even though they're going to furlough a couple times. We expect things to, pick up as far as the nervousness, the anxiousness, and the hurry up, of the session as we get closer to crossover. So we will be back here every week talking about bills either that were amended or that are moving or that are going to sit for a little bit until crossovers, you know, come and gone. But we need all of our cities and towns, all of our mayors and council members and managers and clerks and every police chiefs, everybody to stay vigilant.
Yes.
To read the Friday Dome, to pay attention to what's going on.
Absolutely.
We are really paying attention, but we really need you to pay attention just in case we need some quick action.
Absolutely.
Is that a fair enough statement?
Yes. And if we call you, answer.
Please.
Please.
Because that just means we need something pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you were asked to come to the State House at a moment's notice this afternoon when you kind of thought you were done.
Yes. And you drove me.
And I drove you. We did a...
It was
pulled
pretty
up.
Awesome.
I shoved you out and then
I think we should get a golf cart to drive us over there.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I bet Meredith would put the logo on it.
Oh my gosh, it would be
amazing.
We could
put the logo on the side of it.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening to the podcast,
donate to our golf cart now.
Would anybody like to sponsor a golf cart, a MASC golf cart?
We'll put your city logo on it.
That'd be crazy. Fun. I bet our Heather is probably going to give us the big fat no on a golf cart.
Probably. Liability and all. Whatever.
But that's okay. Everybody, thank you so much for listening again to us. And I hope this gives you just a little glimpse of what kind of gets thrown at us at a moment's notice for Scott and Erica and Joni for what they do. It's the steady work and then it's the last minute stuff that we also have to do on your behalf. And guess what? We love doing it. We love representing cities and towns. So everybody have a great weekend and we'll talk to you next week. be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.